It's time for Malvern and Wildcat basketball on 106.7 WMVI and malvernandradio.com. Wildcats basketball is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Creighton Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, DiMaggio's Pizza, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, and Team Milan Real Estate.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Mount Vernon Basketball Show. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Joe Newcomb. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Joe, I thought we had a good week of basketball last week, but we're going to have to talk about the bad part first. The Mater Dei game, which was toe-to-toe. The second quarter kind of killed you, but your guys had they were able to penetrate. They were able to do what they wanted. The ball just wouldn't go in the basket. But starting the third quarter, they were still able to penetrate and got the shots to fall, and you got right back in the game and, took it down to the last couple possessions. What do you think?
I think you're right. You know, I thought the first quarter, I thought we came out and played really well. And really, I thought we got a lot of the same shots the second quarter. We missed three or four layups and several open kick-out threes that that's what we've got to be able to do is make those shots. And unfortunately, we didn't. And we go down six into the half, and then I thought we came out and responded well in the third quarter and played pretty well. It's a 4 or 5 point game and going into the fourth. I thought we were a little bit stagnant against their zone in the second half. We went to some sets against the zone, trying to make sure we had movement, and and I didn't think we had great movement against that. And because of that, I think we came up a little short. But, when you're on the road, you can't go 3 of 14 from the free throw line like we did. Or 4 of 13 from the free throw line, and you lose by four. That's one of the big things that stood out.
You know, Mater Dei has never been known for their exceeding quickness as far as, and especially on a defensive end, you'd think it would hurt. But their zones, whenever they go to zone, their players tend to be in exactly the right spots for those zones. It makes them very difficult to penetrate. I've always seen that from their teams. And like we talked about on the dribble, you guys were quicker and were able to penetrate. When they went to the zone, you would think, and passing is preferred. You don't like to dribble a lot, but you were more successful with the dribble than the pass just because the way Mater Dei seems to position in that zone, and I don't know what I couldn't figure it out either.
Well, I thought we got good shots. You know, I think that's the part that sometimes we didn't get good shots. So I thought we got good shots. We got the ball in the paint several times. We missed two or three right around the rim. Mm-hmm. One where we're up one, we take a minute or so off the clock and end up turning it over. That ends up being a run out on the other end. Just two or three possessions like that you end up coming up empty on. And that's the difference in a close ball game. You saw how we attacked the zone on Wednesday night at Mater Dei, and I thought we needed to do a better job of overloading sides and getting the basketball to the corners. And we did that then the next night against South Spencer's 1-2-2. But I thought for the most part we got good shots on Wednesday. We just, again, we missed way too many around the rim. And missed way too many free throws. You can't miss 9-10 free throws and expect to win on the road.
Absolutely not, especially in a very close ball game like that. It looks like you did a more credible job rebounding with Brady Schickel, Nash Hostetter, and Meyer Robb, 6-4, and sixes and fours and that kind of thing. It was pretty good job, especially when you're outsized. Now, Cole Breeden, the freshman at Mater Dei, we had him for 13. That's not good. But
The Breeden kid's a player. He's one of the best players in the state, I think, baseball-wise. I think somebody said he's been offered by some SEC schools, baseball. I thought we did a really good job on him on the defensive end. I thought Brady was really good. Mm-hmm. I know he scores 14, but I thought he was it was a hard-earned, sometimes an inefficient 14, where I thought right. We made him a two-point shooter, didn't let him make a three, which is something that he's very capable of. Mm-hmm. I thought we did a good job on him. And then Mallory is extremely quick off the bounce. I thought we did pretty good job on him, except for fourth quarter. He got a couple runouts off of some turnovers, and then one time he beat us off the bounce against our press and got to the rim. But I thought we did a pretty good job on him throughout the game as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Breeden hurt us on the glass a little bit throughout.
Yeah, but of his points, six of them were free throws. So you did a terrific job on the floor holding him down. Modern Day's just always been a tough out for Mount Vernon. It just seems like the teams are sometimes similar, and they both tend to be half court, but just came up a little short. But it was a terrific ball game, and I tell you, I've always liked the atmosphere a pep band brings. Theirs was very loud.
Yeah, it was loud, and there was a good crowd, and a team that hasn't won a lot of games. They had a good crowd.
It was a great atmosphere in that gym. That's the other thing. There's no place for the sound to go. They're right up at the ceiling. We were struggling to be able to hear ourselves think and talk. And I just wonder, how does that affect the players down on the floor, or is it just white noise to them?
I think that's always it's always a good atmosphere in there. So it requires you to have good communication and test your ability to make sure everybody's on the same page. And in all honesty, I thought we did a pretty good job of handling that throughout the game. We just, like I said, I thought defensively we were pretty good throughout the game. I thought we did a good job on their two best players. It just boiled down to our inability to make some around the rim and some open shots throughout, and then just – again, not making free throws on a consistent basis. And the thing was, we had won the game on Saturday because of our ability to make free throws. So that wasn't that was the disappointing part, is we had just won at Washington and had made free throws down the stretch, and then unable to do that then on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about adolescent boys. One day they're the most graceful athlete you've ever seen, and the next day they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But and I'm not belittling your kids. I love watching them play. And as you said, they were very competitive. I did not realize the free throw shooting was that low a percentage, because my son kept the stats. I was doing the play-by-play that night. If you – a couple of those layups, and you had good shots. I won't call them necessarily layups. They were contorted. But there's the shots that your guys can hit, like magicians. They can hit them. A couple of those they didn't hit, handful of free throws. All of a sudden, you're, 7 to 8 points up instead of 4 points down at the end.
Yeah, I think that's when you're in a close game like that. You go back and you find two or three plays throughout, and it flips the whole game if you're up four or five as opposed to down three or four, and then they're fouling you, and you're able to stretch it out. But we were on the other end of that, and gave ourselves a chance down the stretch, and just didn't make enough plays.
Yeah, well, that'll happen. We will take our first break of the evening. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Hello, sports fans. I'm Mark Isaac, United Fidelity Bank Executive Vice President. At United Fidelity Bank, our in-person friendly service provides peace of mind and worry-free banking. We offer personal and business checking and savings accounts with no hoops and no hassles, ideal certificate of deposit rates, and our easy-to-use online banking platform allows you to bank anytime, anywhere. Our free mobile app provides you access to the accounts on the go, and you can skip the trip to the bank with mobile deposit. Plus, we are proud to offer you access to over 93,000 surcharge-free ATM locations nationwide. Now, that's a reason to come see the difference at United Fidelity Bank.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult, and when you buy from Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. Stop by and check out our deal of the week. It's a 2016 GMC Sierra SLT Crew Cab. This 3/4 ton truck is a 4-wheel drive, has a 6.6 liter Duramax diesel engine, and is a one owner vehicle with just 112,000 miles. This truck is waiting for you at the price of $38,500. Come take it on a test drive today. Financing is available for all credit situations, and you can visit us today online at actpreowned.com or stop by the lot at 312 College Avenue in Mount Vernon.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Sweet deals all month long at Expressway Chevrolet. New 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LT, $23,800. New 2025 Chevy Equinox LT, $27,810. New 2025 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4, $39,990. For these sweet deals and more, visit ExpressWayChevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana. Together, let's drive. Price excludes tax, title, and $245 dock fee. Dealer retains all applicable rebates. Owner loyalty may apply. See dealer for details.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mount Vernon Basketball Show. I'm Alan Buck, talking to Joe Newcomb here. You're listening to 106.7 FM WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Went down to South Spencer for the closer, the ending, regular season ending game to play. And as I've talked to several people from South Spencer, it depends on which team shows up, on how good they're going to be. And I thought from the beginning it was just a great game to watch, a terrific game to see. The one thing that was a little bit concerning early, Bryce Clowers stuck his hand in a passing lane and, you know, hit a pass and the ball hit his hand wrong. I hope it wasn't serious. As often as he does that, that's what he makes a living. That's what he gets paid for, getting his hands in passing lanes. But for a few minutes, it looked like he was really struggling, and then all of a sudden he was just fine.
Yeah, that was the start of the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken, when he got a tip on a pass and jammed his finger, and that was something that he had a pretty significant hand injury right after the holiday break, going into the Forest Park game here in practice, and had to miss some time there, and has honestly something that's kind of nagged the entire year, just as it's tried to get healthy, you know. And Bryce has done a really good job of continuing to impact games for us and help us on throughout the year. He's one of our best defenders every night, you know. I think that's something that he's been really good at the entire year, and has made some big time shots for us throughout the year as well, you know. And that hand injury that he had on his right hand and his pointer finger really affected him there for a while.
Well, it's,
you know,
very important when you're shooting.
That's what
puts the ball in the basket.
Yes, and
he's a tough kid, though. I mean, to play through that he did, that was just really, really impressive. And going back to the first quarter, this is something. I think there were six rebounds available in the first quarter. One went out of bounds. They got four. We got one. They didn't miss a shot. We were shooting, I think my son said, 65% in the first quarter. And we were down, was it
2019? You know, and that first quarter,
they didn't miss a shot.
The head kid, who's shooting, I believe, under 20%, if I don't have my scouting report, but under 20% on the air from three, hits two to start the game, and then hits a step through shot fake three to start the second quarter. And credit to him for making some shots. But I thought they had some guys step up early in the game and made some shots that had not to that point in the year. And I thought really the first quarter, I think we were really good offensively. I thought we lacked a little bit defensively in terms of just our overall ball pressure and really in terms of really getting after them. But the second quarter, then we struggled to score again the second quarter. I thought we got some good looks. We missed several at the rim. Because of that, then they were able to kind of go on a run. And when you go into the half down 12 or 13 and lose a tough one the night before, it tests you mentally. And it tests you in terms of how tough you are, and couldn't be more proud of the way the kids responded. It's all them. You know, you as an athlete and a competitor have an opportunity to respond in a certain way. And I thought our kids did a really good job of coming out at the half. And really picked it up defensively, you know. And you look at the score, we didn't necessarily close much in the third quarter, but I thought it was a night and day difference in terms of our defensive pressure.
It really was. You did have it down to
seven,
I believe, with the ball.
Because I was making the point, my son made fun of me because the way I said it, I said something about five is half of ten. What I was getting at was they had a 10-point lead, basically. If you could get it to five going into the fourth, you'd be in good shape. And in the, before I got the words out, it was back up to ten. And
yeah,
it went
they,
into the fourth up 12.
Right, they hit a three basically at the buzzer to go into the fourth. And, you know, those plays can be I don't know, debilitating, you know. Yeah, disheartening for, yeah, that's a good word, you know. But I thought, again, kids did a really good job of handling that, responding, understanding that we had played a lot better in the third quarter. And if we could back that up again, I felt like we'd give ourselves a chance, you know. And mm-hmm. as you watch the fourth quarter back, it's a 12-point game with 3 minutes and I think 47 seconds left after they make a free throw. And the next minute and a half from there was – something pretty special to watch. I thought the kids, you go through the process. We come down, Meyer hits a pull up. We end up getting a turnover that bounces off a guy's leg. Nash dies and it bounces off a double tap off a kid's leg. Off the inbounds, we execute well. Meyer gets a three. We get a 5 second count, ensuing yep. possession. Same exact inbounds play. We keep and get to the free throw line. They go down, and I believe one of two free throws. Clowers comes down and gets a 4-point play right in front of the bench, which was huge.
Yeah, that was terrific.
Yeah, and then the following possession, Bryce gets a rip and gets to the free throw line. And I think a play that's maybe overlooked is he makes the first one. Schickel gets fouled then on the miss on the second one on the rebound, and then he makes two free throws, so it ends up being a 3-point possession. Mm-hmm. And then just the execution down the stretch in terms of getting to opportunities by turning them over. You know, I thought our 42 defense was really good in terms of being able to jump people from behind. I think when we're really good with it, we get those jumps from behind.
What's 42 defense?
That's our run and jump full court. And there's times we've been really good in it. There's also times where we don't do a great job of cutting the basketball and shutting off the sideline. And when that happens, it takes away our ability to jump from behind and get tips from behind. And I thought in the fourth quarter we were really good in that regard. And allowed us to get out and get some easy ones in transition. You know, we get another steal with about a minute and a half or so left where Nash gets a goaltend to tie it. It was
odd. There was a goaltend in the JV game, one of the varsity.
Yep.
They weren't nearly identical. The guy just got caught in the net when the
yep.
ball was on the rim. It's the right call, though.
It is. You know? It is. And then they go down and we call timeout and they score to go up two. And then the last possession, I thought the kids did an excellent job of executing against the zone. We had two sets called to where if they took away our first one, we ran a stagger for Meyer on the left side. And I thought we executed it really well, but they did a good job of getting through. And then if we didn't get that shot, we were running right into another set. We executed it really well. You know, when you watch the film, Bryce does a great job of cutting to get into the second set, which the bottom guy follows his cut and then allows Meyer to be open, all because of the execution. If Bryce doesn't cut at the time he does and like he does, Meyer's not open because that guy gets to stay home. Mm-hmm. So yes, Meyer hits a big-time shot, but there's other things that lead to that in terms of our execution from the first set, being in the right spot, going right into the second, and then like Bryce's cut where sorry, I can't think of his name. Kelly Kidd has to follow him yeah. on his cut, and Meyer ends up being open in the corner and makes a big-time shot.
An awful lot of times there's more going on than just the kid hitting the shot, and that's the thing. A lot of people, if you're just a casual fan, you don't notice those kind of things. But the other thing, you got Meyer robbed a shot in a spot that he's as comfortable in as anywhere on the court. It looks like that inbound play that you run that gets him that shot in the corner, I don't remember him missing it. I know he has from time to time, but I don't remember it because he hits it so often, and he was just a couple steps away from that spot when he hit that one.
Yeah, I mean, he had just hit that one about a minute and a half, 2 minutes earlier, and those were big-time shots for us. And then the final play, I think something that, again, you watch back, we sub Ryder and put him on the ball, and Sal Spencer is trying to get a post touch off of some cross screen action. And I thought Snodgrass's ability to just hound the basketball and make them throw it across into the backcourt by blowing up that play. And then Bryce did again another really good job of playing with his chest and making him shoot a contested 10 footer to seal it was really important. But I thought, like, Ryder not allowing that pass into the post with the action that they had, you know, when you're watching, you may not pick up on those things. But I thought Snodgrass was a real key to blowing up that the last ploy.
Yeah, he's contributed an awful lot of ways that don't show up on the piece of paper. But it's good you watch so much film, you can see those things. At that point, Boozy had fouled out, and I thought his defense was pretty good all day. He got Kelly kid had just a herky-jerky way of drawing contact from the defense, and the way he did it, it's going to be a foul on the defense unless the official catches him lowering his shoulder. But poor kid Boozy goes out with a bloody lip because I guess the hit guy headbutted him, but he did get into his chest. But he had a terrific ball game, and he was 2 for 4 from three early, had 11 points on the game. But it was I don't care about his offense. His defense is what I love to watch.
Well, it was nice to have balanced scoring. We had 4 double figures. Yeah. I thought Jack Campbell played really well. He hit 2 big ones in the first quarter, and then I thought he was really good in the fourth where he came in and played extended minutes with Boozy fouling out and did a lot of little things. I thought he was a great cutter off the ball against their zone and honestly created multiple baskets for us by just his ability to be smart and find openings within the zone. And like Clyde O'Clower's hits got that rip to the baseline off of Jack's cut. I thought he was really good. And again, some things that maybe don't show up in the box score that I think he had contributed to helping us win. And then I thought Schickel was really good too. You know, I thought he has 5 points, but I thought he was really good defensively on the Morgan kid after the first quarter. And I thought he did a really good job on the glass. And I thought Brady played well as well throughout as well. And then we already talked about Ryder. I thought he was a good guy off the bench, hit another big shot for us, and did a good job on both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say. It's a lot easier to coach a team when you got really good brains above the shoulder. From the shoulders up, you got really good team. And
we have great kids. I've said it before. These are as good of kids as you're going to find in the world, and they work hard. They've endured some tough losses throughout the year in terms of just some heartbreakers, and to find a way here where maybe you're down and down and out. And I thought the kids just continued to battle, continued to give themselves a chance. And then I thought they executed at an extremely high level down the stretch with some of the things that we had to do in order to win, and really proud of them and just really happy for them by being able to close out the year and in a winning fashion. And hopefully something that can kind of bolster us going in here to this week with the sectional and what you work for all year.
Yeah, given the, like you said, the close games, the number of them that have gone the other way, it kind of would psychologically give this team every opportunity to quit when they were down 12 going into the fourth quarter, and they didn't. And you even said with less than 4 minutes left, they were still down that far, and they put it all on the line and got the win. That's got to give them a good amount of confidence going into Tuesday, which brings us to our final break, and we will come back and talk about the sectional in just a moment. You're listening to 106.7 FM WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
This week at Bud's Hardware, they have mulch in stock in black, brown, red, and cypress. You can get 3 bags for just $10. Premium topsoil in 40-pound bags for $3.99 apiece. Get what you need to make your landscaping a showplace at Bud's Hardware. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. and Saturday from 8 until 5. Celebrating 151 years, serving Mount Vernon.
How do you like your pizza? For zesty authentic Italian, there's only one, DiMaggio's. Can't wait? All mine orders are available at DiMaggio's.com. Also savory pastas, calzones, wings, Italian sandwiches, salads, and cannoli. DiMaggio's Italian Pizza. Voted the best pizza in the tri-state. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 1244 Main Street in Mount Vernon. Call 838-9850 for DiMaggio's.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon M Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
It's truck month at Expressway Jeep. We have a huge selection of fresh off-lease Ram trucks, like a 22 Ram Bighorn Night Edition 4x4, only $33,555, or a 22 Ram Bighorn 4x4 for only $34,775, or a 21 Ram Bighorn Night Edition 4x4, only $33,675. Big selection, all sale price, you will save thousands during truck month at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, title, and 245 document fee. Excludes previous offer. See dealer for details.
If you're looking for a great commercial space in Mount Vernon, T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty has the perfect place for you. It's a 5,000-square-foot warehouse located at 214 West 2nd Street in Mount Vernon. This property was built in 1998. It features 500 square feet of finished office space, two restrooms, heat and air, loft storage, two overhead doors, and an overhead crane system. See the full details and pictures online at teambylum.com or call Rick for more information at 812-453-1068. Team Milam, going that extra mile.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Joe Newcomb. You're listening to 106.7 FM WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. After closing out with a terrific and dramatic win at South Spencer, we're going to go to Boonville on Tuesday and play Heritage Hills at 7 o'clock, I believe, is game time.
About 7:15, I think. 7:15. Yeah, first game starts at 5:30, and they'll start the second one as soon as 20 minutes is up.
All right. And that's, you know, for 31 minutes and 50 seconds, you had Heritage Hills beat. They sunk a three-pointer to go overtime and then got you in the overtime. So you know you can compete with them. You're not going in with any lack of confidence. From the brain trust here in the coaches' world, what do you got cooked up for them that you can talk about on the air?
I think the biggest thing is we got to be able to handle their size and their physicality. You know, I think that's something that that's their advantage in terms of what they bring. They've got lots of size. They're physical on the glass. They're physical with you defensively. And in order for us to counter that, we've got to do a good job of, like we did the first game, using our athleticism and quickness and trying to turn them over, make it more of an up and down full court game in terms of our ability to get some easy ones defense from our defense, and really set the tone like we did early on that end of the floor. You know, I thought Grayson Boozy was really good on the ball against the gray kid the first time. I thought we were really locked in defensively the first time. I thought we executed our game plan really well. When you watch it back, I think we fouled too much. And that's something that we've got to make sure we defend without fouling and then finish possessions on the glass. They've got some guys that can hurt you on the glass. The Wetzel kid's been playing much better here the second half of the year as he's gotten more and more comfortable. And he's a big-bodied post player who can score around the rim and does a lot of damage on the offensive glass. So that'll be a task for us. And then you've got to guard the arc with them. They got several guys that can get hot. You know, the Meredith kid who's really shot the basketball well here the last four or five games especially. Pryor can really shoot it. Gray can get hot. The other night at Princeton, Hope really shot it well. So you got to guard the arc, but I think we've got to play to our advantage in terms of our athleticism, using our guards to really get into them and try to force some turnovers.
Yeah, in that first game, the defense out on the floor, which would be from your guards, kept them uncomfortable. Just really, and if you can do that and keep them from getting into the flow of their offense, it's really a huge advantage. Plus, puts all these deflections and things of that nature put a little doubt in the offensive player's mind.
Well, I think if you, like you said, you just want to make them uncomfortable throughout, because if you allow them to be comfortable, then they get to play to their advantage with their size down and in and around the paint. And if we can keep them out of the paint and push them out of the scoring area with our with our defense on and off the ball, then we can pick out some spots to go in and be aggressive and try to get some traps and tips. And there's two or three things that we'll try differently defensively that I think can hopefully provide a spark for us. But it's going to be about that in, and it's going to be about our ability to create possessions and easy baskets from our defense. And if we can do that, then we'll give ourselves hopefully a chance down the stretch and see if we can't get a big one on a Tuesday night.
We always talk about health. From what I understand, everybody's healthy. Clower's fingers, I mean, is the left one that he injured?
Yeah, I think he's good. Okay. Obviously, he jammed it pretty good the other night, but yeah. he was fine Friday and Saturday at practice, and I anticipate him being good to go.
Yeah, he'll I'm sure he probably already knows this from his older brothers. He's going to have jammed fingers until he quits playing basketball.
Especially the way he plays defense, the way they play. They get lots of deflections.
And I still think that all came from Tristan. He started the ball rolling, and it's continued, and that's pretty fantastic to watch. Your free throws, that's going to be a key in the game. You've got – the thing is, when I look at them, they're good shooters, and they've got really good form. So – an oddity like the modern day game, they got to toss that out of their mind, because at that point it becomes mental.
Yeah, because I think, like you said, it's an oddity.
Their form is so good, and down the stretch at Washington, they didn't get anywhere close to the rim. They were just all right down the middle on those free throws. That was fabulous.
Yeah, hopefully we can make those. And I think, like you talked about, a couple of the keys is our ability to get out in transition, eliminate their threes in transition. And then a big one is just the rebounding war. You know, we've got to eliminate second chances for them and hold our own on the defensive glass. You know, when you're giving up size and strength at some of the spots, you just got to hold your own. You got to eliminate second chance points. And, like, if you can create some extra possessions from your defense and get some transition points, that evens that out.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say you're getting good contributions rebounding-wise from your guards, but then you start four guards, basically.
Sure.
And a forward. So you're definitely undersized. But Brady gets up pretty much as high as anybody in the gym with his jumping ability. Meyer Robb can get up. Nash, he's just got a nose for the ball. He gets in there, and he's got a good, strong body, too. He's not like a little guard that gets cuffed around, so he can get in there and help. And you guys just don't have to do it by committee.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is. It's going to be by committee. We're not going to have a guy go get 12 rebounds a night, and that's okay. You know, it's something that I feel like here we've gotten better the last few weeks in terms of being able to rebound defensively on a consistent basis. And when it becomes tournament time, that's one of the huge keys is you've got to eliminate second chance points. And when you get stops, you got to finish those stops with rebounds. So it'll be a big one tomorrow.
You know, basketball is not that complex a game. It boils down to possessions.
It does.
Possession gives you an opportunity to score, and a rebound is a possession that you get and one that they don't get.
Exactly
and,
right.
And back in the old days, they would talk about a normal game, not a blowout one way or the other, but a normal game, you're going to score about a point per possession. So you get a rebound, that's a point for your team, and it's not one for their team. So a rebound evaluates to 2 points.
Exactly right.
And that's how important it is. And plus, you guys on the defensive side, you can get force a lot of turnovers, and you know you get steals, not only the dead ball turnovers, but steals.
Yeah, we've got to get live ball turnovers that lead to direct baskets. You know, and I thought that was a huge key from Thursday in terms of us coming back is those live ball turnovers that directly led to some easy baskets for us, and we've got to be able to do that again tomorrow.
That's terrific. I wish I could see the tape from that game because it was so exciting that sometimes it kind of gets to be a blur from doing what I'm doing and trying to get everything managed and up there, and then you look and say, how did we cut 10 points off of it? And then, you know, the last play, of course, is very memorable, but those other little – that was all the little stuff that the defense did, and – you got a gritty bunch of guys down there. That's pretty good.
We do. We have a great group of kids. I'm excited for the week. Hopefully we can go out and play really good basketball tomorrow and keep going day by day here.
Anything special going on Tuesday? I don't know. Is there a bus from here or for students or pretty much everybody just get there?
Just would love to have a good crowd tomorrow. Kids have worked really hard throughout the year.
They deserve your support.
I know they'll be ready to go, and we'll go late on the line and see what happens.
It's going to be an exciting one, and we hope it's just the first of several in the sectional. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the studio. Thank Joe for your time. Really appreciate it. And I'll say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to Mount Vernon Wildcats basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, DiMaggio's Pizza, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, and Team Milam Real Estate. Stay up to date with Mount Vernon Sports on your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI.